Well, one of the things that I wanted to continue on this, and I think it's so important, you know, when you receive a revelation or you receive insight into God's word, it's important to stick with that until you have a release in your heart. And I don't really have a release at this point. And so I'm just going to continue to seek God in this particular area for additional truth. And one of the things that when I heard this come up out of my heart, no evidence, it was for something personal, but again, the truth of this, God said to me by His Spirit and said that many will be set free because of this revelation. And so when we talk about evidence, you know, anybody who is either in, you know, the legal side of things, you know, if we're talking about somebody in law enforcement or in the court system, or you might be a lawyer, or even in just everyday life, you know, they want proof of something. You know, if you wanted to put a claim in on your insurance, they want proof. They want evidence before they release payment for that claim. And so when we talk about evidence, that's just on a natural side. But when we talk about evidence on a spiritual note, then we have to go back and look at, when we say no evidence, then we have some spiritual, we have some scripture that we can look at that proves that there's no evidence that's held against us. There's no proof of things that were charged against us. Why? Because through Christ, He was our substitute. He redeemed us from those charges. And so let's take a look this evening as we start. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 in the Passion Translation. And through Christ's substitution, He redeemed us from what? Sin and also sickness. You know, so often people are quick to say, yes, he redeemed mankind, because that's what Scripture says. But it also says He redeemed us from the curse of the law, which included sickness. And so I want to just look at that this evening. And when we look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, when Adam sinned, the entire world was affected. So when Adam sinned, when he fell, the entire world was affected. Sin entered human experience, and what happened? Death was the result. And so death followed this sin. This is what Scripture is saying here. Casting its shadow over all humanity because all have sinned. So here we can see from Scripture that death entered into the world, how? By sin. And disease and sickness, how did they enter? They entered the world the same way, by sin. And what? Death was the result. So when sin entered, death was the result. And what happened? Sin and sickness came in. That was really, you could say, was a result of sin. So was death. So spiritual death and natural death was the result of what? Sin. Man's sin. One man's sin. And disease and sickness are a result of the curse. So if you look at verse, we're not going to turn there at this time, but Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 28, and the first 14 verses talk about the blessings of the covenant. And then from verse 15 through 61, 62, it talks about the curses for disobeying God. and it talks about the curse of the law. And so what's the remedy for the curse of the law? It was the cross and his substitution for us. That was the remedy. So when we look at 1 Peter 2:24, let's take a look at the Amplified translation, Amplified Classic. And when we look at 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he personally, see, I want to look at, you know, we're talking about the results of sin entering into the world and death and sickness and disease. And we look at, or, and it's mentioned in Deuteronomy 28, the curse of the law. Here it says, Christ, personally bore our, what? Our sins and his own body on the tree as on an altar and offered himself on it, that we might die or cease to exist to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, or you could say his stripes, you have been healed. Glory to God. So in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom, see, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures, in whom we have, we're talking about Christ, in whom we're not going to have, we have redemption through his what? His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and it says what? According to the riches of his grace. Glory to God. And it says the same thing if we look at the Passion Translation in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 through 14, it says something similar. It says, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. Now, verse 14. For in the Son, in Christ, in whom, all our sins are canceled. Oh boy, this is good news. And we have the release of redemption through his very blood. So when we look at the scripture, yeah, we had charges that were held against us because of one man's disobedience, because of his sin, death entered into this earth realm. And because of that, sin and sickness came in. But what happened? Through him, through Christ, through his blood, in whom, King James says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, and we could also say the forgiveness of sins and sicknesses. They've been eradicated. They've been removed. In other words, no evidence of it. It's been removed. It's been, as this says here, for in the Son, all our sins are canceled. That means they're removed. They're eliminated. There's no evidence of them. So Jesus, the cross, we can say, was the remedy for the whole man. So Jesus went to the cross, spirit, soul, and body, to redeem mankind, spirit, soul, and body. So the cross was the center of the plan of salvation for man, spirit, soul, and body. It was a complete redemption, not just our spirit being redeemed, but our soul. That means all of your soulish area. You know, sometimes, you know, we say, well, gee, I have a problem with worrying. It was redeemed for all of the things that go on in our mental faculties, not having peace and worry and fear and all of this. those were redeemed for. So man was redeemed spirit and soul and what else? Body. That means our body was redeemed from the curse of the law, which is what the scripture says. So let's turn over to Galatians 3:13 and let's look at the New Living Translation. I think it's more personal. It says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone that hangeth, or everyone who was hung on a tree. So he went to the cross as a criminal. He went to the one, to the cross, cursed with our curses. Let's look at the Passion Translation. And it says in Galatians 3:13, Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed it completely. He absorbed what? The curse completely, as he became a curse in our place, for it is written, everyone who was hung upon a tree is cursed. So he became cursed with our curses, with our sicknesses, our diseases. So since he became a curse, in other words, he redeemed us from every disease mentioned in Deuteronomy 28. When you look at the various curses that are mentioned from verse 15 down through verse 60. Every disease mentioned in Deuteronomy has been paid for, and also in verse 61, it says in Deuteronomy 28:61, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. So this would include all of the modern day diseases that we are confronted with. It's already been purchased and paid for. He became a curse with our sicknesses and disease. Every sickness and every plague not written in the book of this law. Glory to God. It's been paid for. So when we look at Galatians 3:13, he paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He became a curse with our wrongdoing. It says he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing, which is what the New Living says. So when we look at this, when we talk about, you know, the familiar scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, in the Passion Translation, when we talk about being a brand new person in Christ, you know, so often we talk about the spiritual side of us, meaning our spirit man is brand new. We're a brand new person, and that is true. But we cannot forget that we're brand new concerning our health and our physical well-being. That these things that have come upon our body have already been paid for, and we don't have to tolerate them anymore. We're brand new. It says here, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. Now yes, that is talking about our spirit, and all that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Now, that's talking about our spirit man, but we can absolutely say everything has become fresh and new, even concerning our health. Now, maybe you don't see it at the time. This is where faith comes in. At the time you've received Christ, we need to think about this. I know I've read this in other writings from those that have gone on before us. And they said back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, they went around teaching that people should not only receive Jesus as their Savior for their sins and their salvation, but they need to receive him as their healer. And I think we need to emphasize that more, and we don't emphasize it enough. But 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we are to walk by faith and what? Not by sight, or not by, as the Passion Translation, we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. We live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. What does that mean? That means we're not to conduct or regulate our lives, regulate our decisions by what we see, feel, hear. So in other words, does it mean we ignore those things? No. But what it means is I need to walk by faith in what's already been purchased for me. So I may need to take some medicine. I may need to get a doctor's advice about something. But what they say does not supersede, or it doesn't outdo what God has already said. They may say, this may be going on in your body. I can say, okay, thank you very much for your advice. I may follow their advice, I may not. But again, if you follow their advice, the question becomes, are you going to walk by faith? Are you going to believe that what's been purchased through the shed blood of Jesus is yours, and that healing power is working in your body to undo that which has been wrought in your body, undo that which Satan has wrought in your body? So we need to think about that. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. We don't walk by evidence. We're not to walk by the evidence of what? Things seen. But we're to walk by faith. So Hebrews chapter 1 in the King James, Hebrews chapter 11, I'm sorry, in verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance or the ground of things hoped for or expected, the evidence. See, when we talk about no evidence, that's no evidence of something that's already been done. It's been purchased. It's been eliminated. So there's no evidence of it where God is concerned. But now when we want to receive something by faith, faith is the substance of things expected, or the confidence or assurance. And faith here is what? It's the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. So the only evidence I really need is faith for something that I believe I receive, and faith is something that I have for something not seen. Why would I need faith for something I see? I'd already know I have it. But faith for something that's been purchased through redemption needs to be taken by faith, and it's the only evidence, and the Amplified says the title deed. So when you have evidence of something, the faith in the Amplified, it says it's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality. So when we look at evidence, the title deed, when you think about this, whether it's for a home, whether it's for a car, whether it's for something you bought, could be the receipt. That's proof that you own something. So when you produce a title deed, I could go somewhere, I may not have that asset that I own, but that deed proves that I own something that they don't see. It's the proof of something, what? Not seen. That's the only evidence, and it proves that you own it. So what do we own? We own healing. we have healing. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Glory to God. So faith for the healing of our body is based, the believing is based on what? The authority of God's word before we feel or see anything. So when I have faith in God and faith in his word, it's for something I don't see yet or feel yet. So the evidence, the only evidence that I need is faith or the faith for something that I don't see yet. But I believe that I've what? Received something. Hallelujah. So once, and we're talking about healing, once healing is received by faith, we take it by faith. Once healing by faith is manifested, then faith for that healing ends. You don't need faith anymore. You have what you believe for. Glory to God. So 1 John 5:14-15, it says, this is the confidence. This is talking about faith now. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he does what? He heareth us. And verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask in faith, we know that we what? We have the petitions that we have desired of him. So all we need, the only evidence we need, this is why when you would hear other ministers, not just Brother Hagin or others that would minister healing, they say, I'm going to lay hands. Do you believe? Did you believe you received? Well, I hope so. He said, well, then you didn't get it. You didn't receive. Because when I laid hands upon you, I, by faith, released and imparted the healing power of God. Your responsibility was to what? Believe that you received it. And now, once you have that, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to keep that faith active, believing that it's what? Working in you. So when hands are laid upon you, that's only one way. You could believe the word of God. That's another way. So there are ways to receive the healing power of God. But once you've received it by faith, then it's our responsibility to do what? Keep the switch of faith active. What does that mean? That means that I am speaking with my mouth, believing in my heart that the healing power of God is working in me, affecting and undoing that which is wrought in my body. It's affecting a healing and a cure. Glory to God. So faith must be released through our words. These are things we've shared in the past. Faith speaks the outcome. Faith speaks that which is not seen, the outcome. Faith calls those things that what? Be not as though they were. Faith must be spoken. Faith has to be spoken. Now let's take a quick look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 in the Passion Translation. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. I want to go back through this scripture here. This is a powerful scripture here. It says, for he is the complete, talking about Jesus here now, for he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form, talking about Christ, and our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God, glory to God, as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Now, let's just stop a minute. if we are completely filled with God, as Christ's fullness overflows in us, would you not think healing would be a part of that? So we could say, I am completely filled with God's healing virtue, his anointing in me, and it's quickening my mortal body. It overflows within me. Healing is within God. How God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Who did? God did. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Who anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost? God did. And now back, this says here, and it says, and we are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. My goodness. So if we are completely filled with God, then we are filled with his healing power and anointing. Now, the truth of that, when that dawns on you, you'll say, bless God, the healing power of God's working in me. It's overflowing within me, and sickness and disease can't stay in my body. It has no choice but to leave. I am completely filled with God's healing power. Glory to God. And it's driving every trace, every bit of evidence of sickness and disease out of my body so that my body comes in line with what's been purchased. No evidence in this body of sickness or disease. It's removed. Glory to God. So let's continue. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Verse 11. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished, glory to God, for us. He broke the power of sin. That's what it said in 1 John 3:8. The purpose of him coming was to destroy the works of the devil, and he did. Glory to God. And this goes on in verse 12. It says, for we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. When he was raised from the dead, so were we. Glory to God. This realm of death, verse 13, this realm of death describes our former state. For we were held in sin's grasp. Oh, yes. But now, not tomorrow, right now, we have been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive, forgiven of all our sins. And I might say, what does it say? And death came in through sin. Sickness came in. So we are forever alive, forgiven, healed, not only forgiven of our sins, but healed of our sicknesses and diseases. We are loosed from that realm of death, never to return. We are alive unto God. Hallelujah. Now, verse 14, I love this verse. He canceled out, boy, oh boy, every legal violation we had on our record, and the old arrest warrant that stood, see, it stood to indict us, he erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Glory to God. They can't be retrieved. And it continues, everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. So that means that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the what? The blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentile, through Jesus Christ. So not only is this there nailed permanently as a public display, it can't be retrieved. There's no evidence of it. And this is why when we go back, the sicknesses and the sin has been removed. This is what we're saying. The curse has been removed. It's been eliminated. It can't be retrieved. As far as heaven is concerned, the curse has been removed. Sin has been removed. Sickness has been removed. And so this is what we were saying in the past lessons. What is not allowed? When we look at Matthew 18, just in these last few moments here, when we look at Matthew 18:18, in the Amplified translation, I want to look at it, if we can look at that. So when we ask this question, what is forbidden in heaven? Death is forbidden in heaven. Sickness is forbidden in heaven. Disease is forbidden in heaven. Sin is forbidden in heaven. Lack and poverty, worry and fear and hate, those are forbidden in heaven. What's allowed in heaven? Well, love, he is love. So love and kindness and peace and joy and faith is allowed in heaven. So when we look at Matthew 18:18, it says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid, see, we're asking God to do something. This is Jesus speaking. He said, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So we're given the charge and the authority to forbid things in this earth that are and must be forbidden in heaven and unlawful in heaven. So we need to stand up. There's no evidence in heaven of our sin. It's been eliminated. It's been eradicated. It can't be retrieved. And neither can any evidence of our sickness. God sees you healed. That's what we saw in 1 Peter 2:24. Whose own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So there's no evidence, there's no record in heaven of these things. It's forbidden in heaven. So we need to stand up and walk in the authority that we've been given through our covenant relationship and covenant rights. We need to stand up and in the name of Jesus, forbid sickness and disease. And if we've done that, keep the switch of faith active. Keep that active. Keep saying, the healing power of God, I've forbidden this sickness, now you must go. And I believe that the healing power of God is working. If you say that in faith, then it is working. And it is. You know, let's take a quick look. I don't have this in my notes, but let's take a quick look at Mark 16 and that great commission that we were given, the church. Mark 16 and verse 18. Well, let's look at 17 and 18. Mark 16. Verse 17 and 18, and said, and these signs shall follow them that what? That believe. In my name, see, in my name, in the name of Jesus, that name which is above every name, in heaven and earth and under the earth. It says, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and what? And they shall recover. Nowhere, now this is one way, laying hands on the sick, but this says here, when we believe God to receive healing, this says, and they shall recover. It, nowhere in there does it say instant. Now, sometimes that does happen. Sometimes there is an instant manifestation. But this says here, and they shall recover. So we need to keep our faith active that I am, the healing power of God is working in me, and I shall recover. The healing power is driving out sickness and disease. Every trace and evidence of what's been paid for. The curse has been paid for. Glory to God. So those things that we've been authorized, and this says here, that which is forbidden in heaven, we're to forbid on the earth. That which is allowed in heaven, we allow it. We loose it. We allow it. Glory to God. So these obstacles that come in our life, just like it says in Mark 11, 23 to 22, 23, it says, have faith in God. And then it goes on to say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, or you could say an obstacle, be thou what? Removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Hallelujah. That's, I shall recover. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So this is keeping faith active. What do we go back and say? Faith is the only evidence needed for things not seen. Hallelujah. That's something coming to pass. Something that I believe shall come to pass, that's something that's not seen. So as we take hold of this insight, this revelation from God, that as far as God is concerned, he sent Jesus here to destroy the works of the devil so that the devil has no more power over you concerning your sin, making you sin. You don't have that nature to consistently sin. You may miss it, but you don't practice it. And the same thing for sickness. He may try to put sickness on your body, but now you have, in the name of Jesus, you can lay hands upon yourself. You can believe God that the healing power is within me. What did we say? That the fullness in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, and our completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God. Glory to God. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I would encourage you to take hold of this, stand against what's already, you know, been, not stand against what's been paid for, but embrace what's been paid for and stand against that which is trying to come into your life, into your body, that's already been paid for. Resist it. What does it say in James? Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He has to go. He must go. He knows that the blood of Jesus has secured your redemption. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Take hold of these spiritual truths, receive them, and you'll walk in them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you that it's working in us. Thank you that there's no evidence in heaven concerning our sin and sickness. We receive that, and we stand against every trace that would try to surface in our life in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're watching this evening and you don't ever remember making a profession of faith, believing that Christ is your Redeemer and that He took your sins and our sins, and when they were paid for, and we, when the scripture says, when we were declared righteous, He was released from hell. Well, when He was released, so were we. And so if you don't ever remember making that confession of faith, then now's a perfect opportunity to do that. And so we invite you to make that confession of faith. And if you're here this evening and maybe you've gotten away from the Lord, maybe you just happened to tune in, maybe you've not been walking the way you should have walked or should be walking where you know, your Christian walk is concerned, now's an opportunity to say, Lord, I've missed it. I decide to come home. I'm going to come home and forgive me for the way I've lived my life. And if you're there, just make this, if you're watching, make this simple profession of faith and say, Father God, I believe that You sent Jesus here to this earth because You loved us and You love me. And I thank You that this day I repent and I turn from my ways and I receive You, Jesus, as my Savior. And I believe that You are the Christ, the Savior of the world. And I believe that You took my sins and I believe that they're paid for. And I also believe that You took them and went to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were released from hell and raised from the dead. And now I believe in that resurrection and the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that. And I believe that resurrection power is now working in me, removing and eliminating every trace of sin in my life and sickness in Jesus' name. And I now confess with my mouth, that I'm saved and redeemed in Jesus' name. Now, if you did that, just let us know that you've made that profession of faith, and we'll get some information out to you in the mail as to who you have become in Christ. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah.